You're probably asking yourself, what are the biggest stories in Clarksville? I'd love to know for this week so I could be informed. Well, good news, we have them for you. We break them down every single week. The Clarksville Rundown, a Clarksville Now, a original podcast. My name is Ryan Pluckelman, the editor-in-chief of ClarksvilleNow.com. Chris Smith is here.
Good morning, Ryan. How you doing?
Well, you can don't say good morning.
I like saying good morning.
It's our podcast. They can believe people can listen to them in the afternoon. They can listen to them in the middle of the night. They can listen to them. You just got to say hello.
So I was at a Kroger yesterday.
Yeah.
And one of the people who was standing in line, the clerks at the Madison Street Kroger are wonderful. Yeah. And they have great relationships with their customers. And one of them says to the clerk, hey, good morning. And she said, don't you be telling me good morning. She was like at the end of a shift. She's like, I've been here since 4 a.m. This is not good morning. They had a whole argument about that. Like when you're just, you know, you say
I was
good
trying
morning.
To check out. Yeah. I got a coupon here.
Yeah. So it's not morning. I know. Yeah. But we do have a lot of news.
Yes, we do.
So one of the things that came up this week is we got property reappraisal going on.
Yeah. Get excited, everybody, because everyone's property taxes are going to be going up because the value of everyone's home has gone up drastically. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the tax man's not going to be like, are home values up? I don't know. And just let it slide.
Yeah.
No. They're looking for their cheddar.
Yeah. And the way this works, I try to keep this as simple as possible.
Okay.
Every 5 years, they do what's called property revaluation.
Right.
And so what they do is the property assessor's office, which is a state mandated thing.
Yeah.
They go around and they use aerial maps to see what improvements have been made. You know, like say you build double the size of your house with an extension.
Right.
And you did it 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, 5 years ago, that's not reflected on the maps and on the property value. So they check it that
right.
way. Or you install a pool.
Right.
Or something like that. So they do these aerial things. And so then they say, hey, your property value has gone up this amount because you did this expansion.
Right.
Well, what they don't know is what's going on inside your house. So let's say, yeah, my home value has increased.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, I've got a retaining wall in my basement that's about to collapse and I can't sell my house.
Right.
Property assessor's office doesn't know that.
Yeah.
So what they're trying to do is make sure people let them communicate with them. Like, you know, when they send out the property revaluations, send back and say, hey, actually, this doesn't reflect this other thing that's happened inside my home.
Right.
Or something like that.
You just give us a great idea on how to cheat on our taxes?
Not necessarily. It's just, you know, property assessor doesn't know what's happening inside your house. The other thing that's really going to, you know, mess with people in Clarksville this year and all of Middle Tennessee is land values have gone way up in the last 5 years.
Yes, they have.
Across Middle Tennessee. So more to come on all this, but basically that's the way it works is you get taxed on the value of your property.
Right.
And if all of your neighbors, you know, 5 years ago were selling for $150K and now everybody's selling for $250K, the land property value of your house has gone up.
Like I said earlier, everybody's property taxes are going up.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready for it.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. You're going to get that shock when you get the bill and your bank says, we don't have enough in your escrow to cover this because it went up.
Mm-hmm.
So just prepare yourself. It's going to happen.
Yeah. It's the cost of living in an area that everybody wants to live in.
Right.
Everybody's wanting to move here.
Right. Exactly.
You know,
but that being said, even if they go up slightly, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They're still well into the realm of reasonable, almost borderline cheap property taxes when you look at what we have in this community compared to what we pay in taxes, we're still coming out ahead.
Well, so I moved here 25 years ago. I don't mind saying when we bought our house 25 years ago, we paid $120,000.
Yeah.
Of course, we're still paying on it, but $120,000.
Yeah.
Now the median home value is like $250,000.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
yours is worth way more than that.
Way up. Yeah, I'm sure it's worth
it. You're going to have to get a second job. Pay them property taxes.
Yeah, yeah.
You're ready to ruin Chris Smith's day, Aaron Hester?
Yeah, I'm going to be over there at working the Madison Street Kroger, probably.
Exactly. Washing dishes somewhere. You're like, isn't that guy from Clarksville now? He's got to pay them property taxes.
Yeah, I don't mind paying it. You got to pay for the schools.
That's right.
Yeah.
They don't pay for themselves.
Yeah. So another story going on. So we've had at FNM Bank Arena, we've had basketball.
Yes, we have.
Had ice hockey.
Uh-huh.
We've had concerts and comedians. We had a rodeo.
Yep, we did.
Surprised me.
Yeah.
But now we're going to get arena football.
Yeah, I saw this story. First of all, this is fantastic. This is being recorded the weekend of Leanne Morgan's big shows. Mm-hmm. This is how cool is it that F&M Bank Arena, within the first year of being open, had a show so popular they had to add an extra night.
Yeah, because it's just going to be a one-night deal, right? Leanne Morgan, yeah.
Yeah, and if you don't know who Leanne Morgan is, she's from Adams. Her sister lives in Clarksville. Family still lives here, and she's hometown gal, a famous comedian. Mm-hmm. And she's coming to do a show at the F&M Bank Arena Friday and Saturday night. If you're listening to this after those days, she already did the show. It was great. It's fantastic. she brought the house down both nights.
And she's making national waves. She's, you know, gone on national tours. Yeah. She's got, you know, all kinds of opportunities lined up. I saw her on a commercial the other night. I was watching a show, and I don't remember the name of the company. But she's has a key role in a commercial where she like tries to talk older women into stop acting young.
That's great.
Grammatical sense. But so all these old women acting like teenagers, and she's like, honey, stop it. Right. You're going to throw your back out.
She is so funny.
Yeah, she's hilarious.
And I guess she started off, the story is she was a stay-at-home mom for a long time, and her husband works for Clayton Homes out in near Knoxville. Mm. And so she was doing, and I don't know if it was some sort of those
like
home
Mary
parties,
Kay or
like
something.
Mary Kay, something. Yeah. And it's probably not Mary Kay, but there's 1.5 million of those parties. And she was doing that, and people were like, you're hilarious. Why do you not do stand-up comedy? Mm-hmm. And so it was by the suggestions of numerous people that are like, this woman is.
Yeah, she started doing like Chamber of Commerce things locally and just kept getting bigger and bigger. And now she's, you know, headlining these tours. She sold out TPAC in Nashville when she did that,
which is fantastic. Yeah. And their comedy's clean. You know, she's talking about, you know, relatable relationship stuff, but she's not, you know, blankety blank this, blankety blank that.
Some of it is naughty, but not vulgar or raunchy.
Right.
You know, it's some of it's risque, but most of it's just like just being an older woman and mom, you know, and a Southerner. And that's the key thing.
Yes.
Very much of the South.
Uh-huh. Has a
beautiful accent.
Yeah, absolutely. She is an absolute hoot.
Yeah.
And she still has family here, so she's coming home to the F&M Bank Arena. So,
yeah.
But arena football.
Arena football. So I kind of know what it is.
No, you don't.
Well, that's why I'm asking. I am coming
Chris
to you
has
from
no
a place.
Idea what arena football is.
I'm coming to you from a place of honest ignorance.
So there was
help
a time.
Me understand exactly what it is and how it works.
I'm probably getting the dates wrong, but there was a time when arena football first kicked off and they were looking for, you know, an opportunity to do football differently, since, you know, people love football in America. We only get it for a handful of months. And we're like, I wish there was more football. So someone came up with the idea of, what if we changed the game and played it in arenas? Mm-hmm. So we're going to make the field shorter. We're going to change a couple of the rules. It's going to be high scoring. We're going to modify football to be played inside arenas. And it was big for a little bit. And then it kind of fizzled. Mm-hmm. Well, with the NFL continuing to grow in popularity and college football continuing to grow in popularity, it makes perfect sense that now they're bringing back arena football. And the Nashville Cats was Nashville's arena football team the first time around. Mm-hmm. Well, they're back because they're resurrecting arena football. And the cool thing is the Municipal Auditorium is, I believe, where they play most of their home games. They don't play at Bridgestone. But they're
Bridgestone's much bigger.
Yeah. So they're going to be playing a home game at the F&M Bank Arena. The Nashville Cats arena football team is going to be playing one of their home games at the F&M Bank Arena.
Yeah, and it's I think it's Armed Forces Day. Is that right? Yeah, it's Armed Forces Day. So that's why one of the reasons that they're doing it in Clarksville.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool. I mean, it'd be nice if they had several of their home games here.
They could just move it here.
They can move it here.
Because that old auditorium in Nashville starting to, I mean, the Nashville Cats are going to come to the F&M Bank Arena and go, this is way better than the dump we're playing in. Mm-hmm. And who knows?
Yeah.
They could be the Clarksville Cats.
Clarksville Cats has much better rhythm than the
Nashville really,
Cats.
It really does. Jeff Fisher, by the way, the legendary coach of the Oilers, the Titans, the Rams, the guy who took the Titans to the Super Bowl, he's involved. He's like the team president.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Jeff Fisher's involved. You know they're not going to stink.
Yeah, that's right. And so how does it work? Is it fewer number of players?
Yeah, there was a smaller field, fewer numbers of players. It's rigged because everybody knows, like, there's nothing more boring on TV than a football game that ends 7-6. Mm-hmm. Like, what that? So they know people want to see touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And so the rules are modified and the game is modified to encourage higher scoring games.
Gotcha.
So it's exciting. It's fun.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, and it kind of shows part of the dynamic of what's going on with F&M Bank Arena.
Yeah.
There's a reason that Sabretooth Entertainment got invested in this.
Right, right.
Because there are venues in Nashville that are huge, and they want big stuff at these big venues.
Right.
But what they don't have in Nashville is a medium-sized / small venue.
Right.
So, you know, yeah, you're going to have The Who concert, Taylor Swift, you know, Beyonce. I say The Who like this is 1985.
Ooh, The Who! They're so rowdy, The Who!
You know, you have your Beyonce and your Taylor Swift, you know, your Jay-Z, whatever, huge stadium tours. That make them, you're laughing at Jay-Z.
I just love that Chris is reaching desperately in the back of his head, trying to find relatable artists.
Who's popular right now?
No, Taylor Swift was a good call.
Yeah. So the huge things like that, but they need a smaller venue, you know, for when you have smaller acts.
Chris wanted to say, you know, like when you have Tony Orlando and Dawn and they need a big place to play.
Yeah. Captain and Tennille. You got to have somewhere to put Captain and Tennille.
You really do bread.
So the smaller acts, either the up and coming or the kind of past their prime acts, they can come to F&M Bank Arena and draw and sell it out. But it's going to be a sellout of 6,000 instead of putting 6,000 people in a 30,000 seat arena.
Yeah. You know, the last time that Bread played in Nashville, mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard this,
I've heard this.
You know, stories about rock and roll all the time, right? And rock and rollers will play shows and then they'll trash the backstage or they'll trash the hotels or people will get rowdy. How many times, you know, like sometimes they have them country and Western concerts with those guys that think they're outlaws and people get real, real excited and then they fight because they have too much to drink and then a brawl breaks out, right? You've heard about that.
Yeah.
Similar thing happened last time Bread played Nashville. It was a huge to do because the audience fell asleep and they had to go. The ushers had to go when the concert was over and just gently wake people up.
Are you serious?
No, I'm joking.
Okay. I don't know.
And then, you know, Bread was staying downtown in a hotel. And, you know, when they left, the housekeeping went into Bread's, you know, hotel rooms they were staying in, the guys who were in Bread. Uh-huh. And they're like, oh, my God. Well, they cleaned the rooms. They made their beds. And then they left a nice gift basket. It was very dramatic.
That's sweet, those guys from Bread.
A lot of drama. But, yeah, they had to wake people up.
Mm. Okay. So Bread coming next to F&M Bank Arena. All right. Speaking of prom.
I love Bread, by the way. I don't want to think people think I'd have slammed Bread.
Yeah.
They're a solid band. Nobody had better makeout jams.
Well, so here's my problem with Bread. I've heard of Bread a million times. I probably know 8 Bread songs inside out. I cannot name a single Bread song. I don't connect them with any song.
Everything I Own, I Want to Make It With You.
Okay.
Guitar Man.
I think I'd have to hear these songs. None of those are ringing a bell.
Baby, I'ma want you. Baby, I'ma need you.
Keep going.
You're the only one.
I'm just enjoying listening to you sing.
Yeah.
it's very nice.
Yeah. No, Bread is not coming to the F&M Bank Arena so far that we know of.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. If they are, oh man, I'll be there.
All right. So speaking of bad singing, that happens a lot of proms.
Yes,
and,
it does.
We have prom nights going on right now. Prom season is kicked in.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. We have a couple of kids that work here and they came and they both are like, I need next Saturday off. I'm like, why? We're going to prom. I'm like, ooh, make sure you clean your cars. Get a nice corsage for your date.
Yeah.
Be on your best behavior. Prom's a hoot.
Yeah.
Did you go to prom when you were in high school?
I went to 2 proms my senior year. Yeah. I went to prom my junior year.
Yeah.
And then my senior year, I was dating a girl who was going to a neighboring high school. This is in New Jersey, where the cities are all like, you can't tell when you go from one city to the next because it's all pavement. It's all packed. So she was going to Audubon High and I was going to Haddon Township High. And so
Thank you for clarifying, because there's so many people that know about Jersey high schools in Clarksville.
Exactly. Well, somebody's out there going to be, shout out Audubon. name check Haddon Township, too. But go Hawks. So she was going to Audubon, and she took me to her prom, and I took her to my prom. And we even wore, this is how inexpensive tuxes were back then.
Yeah.
I wore a different tux to each prom, and she had a different dress for each prom.
Wow.
I know there's no way we could afford that now because prices of everything are going
exactly.
crazy. But yeah.
You know, it's funny, but when Chris brought his date to prom, that was the time when all of his friends knew this gal wasn't made up.
Because
they were all like, yeah, sure, Chris. We're like, no, I'm dating a girl that goes to
Audubon.
Audubon High. Oh, sure you are. What's her name? How come we've never seen her, Chris?
It was Jen Wylopek.
Jen Wylopek.
Yeah.
I remember going to prom my senior year with my date, Becky Perry, who wore a wine-colored velvet gown, and I got a wine-colored bow tie and cummerbund to go with my...
Cummerbund, you did the cummerbund.
Yes, my tuxedo. Apparently cummerbunds are not in fashion anymore.
I don't know why.
Nobody wants to wear a cummerbund.
I mean,
they're all wearing vests.
It holds your gut in.
It really does. but that was the style back then. It was funny because I call it the trash tuxedo, the one that has the studded collar that looks like you're either white trash or a yoga instructor. You know what I'm talking about?
Studded
the Nehru collar with the little thing in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what you're
talking
about.
Came out in the 90s. Uh-huh. For whatever reason, people thought in the 1990s, you know what everybody wants? Tuxedos with a Nehru collar. That's what they wanted. So that was the big thing. But I held off on that trend because I wanted to feel like James Bond with a black tuxedo with a red velvet cummerbund.
Yeah.
And a red velvet bow tie.
Nice.
Yeah.
I had the ruffled shirt. Not fully ruffled, not full Napoleon Dynamite ruffled, but the ruffled shirt and then a tie. And it was one of those wraparound clip-on bow ties.
Yeah.
You know, really
the wraparound
skinny.
Clip-on. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Had that same one.
Also had white gloves with one of them.
You had white gloves?
I wore white gloves. Yeah. I stopped short. I had the option.
Was it the Alfred the Butler one?
Of the cane and the top hat.
The cane and the top hat.
Didn't go that far. But so is your youngest in prom season?
She's going to two proms. She's her best friend goes to CHS, and that's where she went for the first couple years of school. Now she goes to middle college, so she's going to both of those CHS and middle college proms.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Well, so we're running photos of all these. And what I love going through these photos is all the fashions.
Oh, it's so great.
And you can see like what the hair trends are. And one of the things I've noticed is like, tuxedos that the guys wear these days are much fancier, like with really
not
fabrics and stuff.
Not poorly fitting tuxedos with cummerbunds. Is that what you're seeing?
No. They're like really fancy jackets with like fabrics, and you know the fabric of the tuxedo will match the fabric of the girl's dress.
That's
sometimes
pretty impressive.
Like a bunch of flowers. And
stuff.
Not just red or white like back in my day. But
what I love about the pictures, and it's so much fun to look at them, because here you have these young people who are getting ready to transition into adulthood, right? They're starting to think they know everything. They think they're adults, but they're not. They're starting to formulate their views of the world and their opinions on things. And this is just another reminder of them having fun. Like this is a moment to celebrate before the responsibilities of adulthood actually creep in. And so you can just see how much fun they're having. And it's just it's just cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. So all these we're covering every prom in Clarksville, Montgomery County. So you can check these out as they're released. We got Kirkwood up now. And so we'll have more this weekend.
Right. So how we do this is we're doing a very 21 Jump Street style undercover photography rig. Right. So Lee Irwin still has his tuxedo from when he went to prom in Katie's high school back in 1947. It's really kind of classy. It's held up really well. Shark skin, very nice. And so Lee, we got him a box of Just for Men hair dye.
Okay.
And so he's dyed his hair, you know.
Oh, is that what that was for?
Yeah, it was dyed his hair black. And then we sent him to a hairstylist that you know, knows modern hairstyles. And so they permed the top of his head and then they shaved around the sides because that's the hot new trend. Mm. And so we've been giving Lee classes on how to talk to young people. That's sus, yo. no cap. And so Lee goes undercover to these prompts and just takes a bunch of pictures with his iPhone. We had to teach him how to work an iPhone because he had a rotary for the longest time. And that's how we get all the time.
You can't take that rotary phone in with you to prom.
He's like, how am I going to take pictures with this rotary phone? So that's how we actually, that's the behind the scenes, how we get all these prom photos on ClarksvilleNow.com. So
that's all lies. That is all absolute lies. That is not how we do things. No, we
I wish it was.
Back in the day, we did, when I was at the newspaper, we did go into the dance hall. We had permission to go into the dance halls and take photos of kids dancing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, kids are not always going to behave on the dance floor as their parents would like them to behave. And some photos ended up showing things the parents did not want shown. And there were complaints. And so we moved outside or into the hallway. And so now we don't take dancing photos because let kids have fun without worrying about cameras, you know. So we don't even do that now. We just do what we call red carpet shots.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're fashion photos. We don't make sure they're posed. You know, they know we're taking their photo.
Well, Chris is not being 100% truthful. The reason why we don't take pictures of the dance anymore is because we were having the hardest time teaching Lee how to do the wobble. And so because he couldn't pick up those moves, we're just like, this is not going to be convincing. So we just have them set up side.
Yeah. It works better that way. Everybody's happier.
Undercover Lee Irwin at proms.
Holding up his rotary. Holding up a rotary phone. Oh, my. All right.
Check out those prom photos. ClarksonNow.com.
All right. Another story. This is sad news. The Wagon Wheel Restaurant is going by the wayside.
I've lived in Clarksville for 19 years, and I am not familiar with the Wagon Wheel Restaurant, as my grandparents would say.
The Wagon Wheel West. This is hard to say. It's probably why they're closing. Nobody can say it. The Wagon Wheel Westmont.
Yeah.
It's right there across from. Now I'm blanking on the name. The El Toro's Mexican restaurant, Fort Kimball Boulevard.
Oh, okay, out there.
Yeah. It's next to the pink fireworks or orange fireworks.
Yeah, I've not dined there.
Yeah. It's neat. They had an actual wagon out front of, with a
that's nice
wooden spoke wheel and everything. Well, the neat thing is, so basically they're having to close because the rent is going through the roof everywhere. And their rent was going up and they couldn't afford to keep it open anymore. So they've closed it. But as the county was getting ready to recognize their efforts over the years, people were saying, how long has this place been here? And it's gone through different ownerships and some slight name changes over the years. But some people are saying it was there before the Vietnam War. And other people say, I think it was there before then.
Yeah.
So the county historian went back and looked and went back through old newspaper archives and say that there's been a Wagon Wheel Restaurant at that location since the 1940s.
Wow.
Been around for quite a while.
1940s, they've been cranking it out. And finally, someone just jacked the rent up too high. And that's the end of the Wagon Wheel.
That's the end of the Wagon
Wheel. Well, hopefully they can move. Because, with Rudy's got an offer they couldn't refuse. And they'd sold their land. But now they're on Riverside Drive. Maybe the Wagon Wheel comes back in another location.
Yeah, that'd be nice because people like these old Clarksville institutions.
What was their thing?
Hmm?
What was their thing?
It was like mainly a breakfast place, I believe.
Okay,
I feel like I've been there. Feel like I went there for like a country breakfast one time, but it was like way back,
A long time ago, before you had Silver Temples.
Before my Silver Temples,
much younger man.
Yeah.
So child seats in your car.
Yeah, so they're going by the wayside. And it's sad when these older places go because, there's people who, there like every Sunday morning for, 30 years.
Yeah, exactly. It comes a part of your routine. Yeah.
Yeah. So what is coming back, speaking of old institutions, the Wienermobile.
So I love the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
Have you visited the Wienermobile?
I've seen it. It's crazy and it's ridiculousness. I do remember last year. Mm-hmm. And yet this has to be something where the CEO of Oscar Mayer's nephew got a job in marketing and had a stupid idea and it failed miserably. Last year, they desperately tried to get people to stop calling it the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to get people to call it the Oscar Mayer Beef Frank Mobile.
Yeah, the Frank Mobile.
And nobody. And I felt bad for the Wienermobile drivers, right? Because you're a college kid. Whatever, you drive the Wienermobile around, you're driving a giant hot dog around the United States for the summer, you make some good money for college, and then somebody says, you're like, listen, you have to do publicity for this thing, but don't you dare say Wienermobile. It's no longer the Wienermobile, it's a Beef Frank Mobile. And so can you imagine how hard it must have been to be the Wienermobile drivers when they had to call it the Beef Frank Mobile? Thank God someone at Oscar Mayer said, you know, the CEO's nephew's an idiot. We're not calling it the Beef Frank Mobile anymore. Why are we fighting against the Wiener Mobile?
Yeah,
everyone knows
brand.
The Wiener Mobile.
That's your brand. I mean, so. That's the thing about branding is once you've got an established brand and that's what everybody knows it as, don't try to reinvent things.
Right.
Don't
that's
try
what,
to say, oh, we're going to be called. No, it's like Twitter.
Yep.
And nobody calls it X.
Nobody.
People only like because they have to say X. But every time they say X, they say X/Twitter or X formerly known as Twitter.
When you have to go to Twitter.com to go on the platform, it's Twitter.
Yeah. So, yeah, just rebranding like that. It may make sense on paper to some marketing person, but no, the general public is going to call you what they call you.
But it's a good piece of advice. If you've got a business, you need to have someone at your business who doesn't care to tell the CEO's nephew that's a stupid idea.
Yeah.
Everybody needs someone to go like, be Frank Mobile. We're not doing that. That's stupid. I don't care who your uncle is.
Yeah.
We're calling it the Wiener Mobile.
That's right.
So
I wonder if was the Anthony Weiner scandal at about that same time?
I don't think anybody would have said, is the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile, is that related to Anthony Weiner? No.
Yeah.
But do you think Anthony Weiner, former New York, disgraced New York congressman Anthony Weiner, do you think he called his car the Wiener Mobile?
I don't know.
I would have if
he
I was
sent
him.
Sent people Wiener pics.
Yes, he did. We actually had some people taking some Wiener pics in the parking lot when it was here earlier.
Yeah.
That's pictures of the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile.
Yeah.
That's what they call those. But yeah, so they're going to be in town.
Well, they were in town.
Depending on when you listen to this bad boy, they've been all over Clarksville, yeah. And it's always great.
So, in your roles with the media over the years, did you ever get a chance to drive the Wiener Mobile?
No, they don't just let anybody drive that. Think about it, it's a massive, it's like an RV-sized vehicle. Mm. And then you're driving in the hot dog part, right? So,
yeah.
So you have like nothing below you. It's a very interesting little vehicle.
Yeah, it's just hot dog all around.
There's a lot of things in there too. I guess they can camp. They can like sleep in there and stuff. And there's a lot going on in the Wiener Mobile.
So in looking up some info about this, found out that the Wiener Mobile has been around since 1936.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, which now they had to sell it for scraps during World War II.
The original Wiener Mobile?
The original Wiener Mobile, they sold for scraps.
Yeah.
And it was Carl Mayer was basically the guy who created it. But then in 1952, they did a new model.
Yeah.
And that one is now in the Ford Museum.
Really?
So if you ever want to see the original Wiener Mobile or close to it.
Yeah, the second Wiener Mobile.
The second Wiener Mobile.
The original Wiener Mobile turned into fighter planes, so you're probably not gonna see that.
Yeah, it still has a sort of reddish brown cast on the fighter planes from the Wiener Mobile.
Yeah, right. Why does that plane look like a hot dog? They hand out little Wiener whistles.
Oh.
So you can, I'm sorry. Wiener whistles is funny. So everybody around the office has been
blowing
their Wiener whistles all over. Yes, and I laugh when I say that.
So what do you referred earlier to the driver.
Yeah.
Do you know what a driver of a Wiener Mobile is called?
A hot dogger?
A hot dogger.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can only do it for 1 year and you have to be a college senior.
Yeah.
And it's basically just a 1 year stint. So all these college seniors majoring in marketing get to be hot doggers.
Yeah.
Those
marketing students knew that calling it the Oscar Mayer Beef Frank Mobile was stupid.
Yeah.
I'm not calling it that, bro.
The Wiener Mobile.
Yeah, exactly.
Wiener Mobile's cool.
I know that it was at Beach Haven Winery. They were doing their music, music on the lawn, and they had the Wiener Mobile. I can't think of anything better than music, wine, and the Wiener Mobile.
Yeah, yeah.
And also various other places around town.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And hot dogs go good with wine.
Hot dogs are good.
Yeah, you can do a nice pairing with like, a nice sweet wine with hot dogs. Yeah.
Hot dogs are underrated.
If they're cooked right.
Yeah.
So you got to grill them is the thing. Because you got to get a little bit of char.
Yeah.
If you don't have a little bit of char on the hot dog, it's
but
okay,
really good hot dogs, though boiled, are still good. It just has to be a really good hot dog. There's different levels of hot dogs.
Yeah.
Oscar Mayer's are okay.
There's, what are those hot dogs? It's Z something. It's Ziegler Z something. They're really red. They're like red number five.
Right.
And those are just nasty. I don't like those.
I get,
a beef frank Oscar, any generally, those are going to be pretty good.
I'll rock Hebrew National.
Hebrew National. Okay.
I figure if you're bringing a rabbi into your sausage plant,
yeah,
that they're probably making sure things are clean.
Yeah.
If the rabbi is signing off on the hot dog, that to me says this is probably okay.
Yeah, they're also
taking that extra step.
They're going to a lot of trouble.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're taking that extra step to bring a rabbi into the process of making your hot dog,
yeah,
I trust you.
Good stuff.
Ballpark's not bad, but yeah, there's nothing better than a good hot dog.
Yeah, a good one.
There's nothing worse than a bad hot dog.
Yeah, that's that Z crap. What is that?
I don't know.
I have to.
It's not Hebrew National.
No, it's not.
What do you put on a hot dog? What's your condiment of choice?
See, I'm not into sauces, so I'm not going to do ketchup, mustard. I know that's like, you know, blasphemy in
right.
some parts.
Yeah.
But I will do like a relish or sauerkraut.
Okay.
I like those on a hot dog.
I like good ketchup.
No, I don't like
chili dogs are good too. You had a good
chili
dog.
I do like chili dogs. No, those I just eat plain.
Yeah, they're a win. You don't need to put anything on a chili dog.
Yeah.
They're a win all the way around.
Yeah.
All right. So if you saw the Wienermobile, you are not hallucinating.
That's right.
It actually
was.
You saw
a hot dog riding through the streets of Clarksville. That was not a fever dream.
It was probably the people that because there's a couple people in Clarksville that now have the Cybertruck, mm-hmm. which is that stainless steel wedge looking thing, right? Mm-hmm. And you see people see it and go, what is that? It's a Cybertruck. The Cybertruck drivers are happy because the Wienermobile drew attention away from them. Mm-hmm. Like they were able to drive in peace for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Because the Wienermobile was attracting all the attention.
Here's the funny thing about the Cybertruck. I just saw a video essay about this the other day. Next time you see the Cybertruck, look at the car doors.
Yeah.
Covered in fingerprints.
Oh, yeah, because it's stainless steel. Yeah.
There's no handle.
Yeah.
There's no way to get in or out or close the door without using
touching
your hand.
Yeah.
And you have to touch what was it?
It's stainless steel.
Stainless steel. Mm-hmm. So they're always covered in fingerprints.
Much like your fridge when you have little kids.
Yeah.
You go like, well, let's get a stainless steel fridge. That's going to be awesome. And then you have kids and you realize it's just a fingerprint machine.
Yeah. So it looks really cool, but there's a serious design flaw. And I'm sure the next one that comes out is going to have like, you know, a plastic, shell or something.
There's a whole lot of design flaws in that thing.
Really? You think
look at one up close. You've never seen worse panel gaps in a car than in that.
Oh.
It's hard to think about. It's hard to make a wedge out of stainless steel.
Yeah.
Elon has the ideas, but then other people have to make those ideas a reality. And when you just come up with ideas and don't understand how the world works, you got some people scrambling to make a stainless steel wedge.
That's the second time this has come up. People who do make these big decisions, mm-hmm. actually third. We got a problem with X. We got the problem with the Frankmobile. We got the problem with the Cybertruck.
I think we're learning that Elon Musk is not as smart as we thought he was.
Yeah, you need a but what about guy in the room or gal?
No.
In the room when these decisions are made. Because if everybody's like, yeah, great, then people make bad decisions. You need somebody to say, that might work, but have you thought about this problem?
And we're going way off topic here, but I'm okay with this.
Okay.
This is the biggest problem with artists as well.
Mm-hmm.
That you get a certain level of success. Like, mm-hmm. You and I have loving partners at home mm-hmm. that if we come up with stupid ideas, feel very free to tell us that's stupid.
Right.
My wife will tell me if I think of something, and I've done this before, so we're not doing that. That's stupid. And I respect what she has to say. But when you get to a certain level of success, like Elon Musk only surrounds himself with people that think his farts smell like potpourri.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't want anybody around that's going to actually be real with him. Same thing with the Oscar Mayer guy, right?
Now there's an impetus that makes sense for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we're going forward, we're innovating, we're doing cool stuff.
Right.
We don't need naysayers.
Right.
We don't need people in the room who are going to drag us down and be a naysayer about it. That kind of makes sense. But
you need someone to be real. You need you need somebody that doesn't want to kiss your behind. Mm-hmm. Someone that doesn't need anything from you that you can say, what do you think of this? Give me your honest opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because even you see that with Kanye West, the artist, right? Mm-hmm. You listen to early Kanye West. It's brilliant. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. It's paradigm changing, right? Mm-hmm. It's so many great ideas that other people will copy and steal. It's influencing the genre for a decade. Because he had people working with him, right?
Yeah.
He had producers that he trusted. He had people that he was getting ideas from. But at some point, he got so famous that all of a sudden, there's no one around him anymore that can be honest with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, oh, yeah, that's great. Oh, yeah, that's great. That's great. Because they want to get paid. They want to ride on the coattails. And I would argue that the last 10 years of his output has been absolute garbage. that, you know, look at his shoes. Look at Yeezys. Nobody's wearing though. They look ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody to say that looks stupid. His look like Crocs that were misformed Crocs.
That's good.
You know,
that's a good point.
But yeah,
we have institutions. I mean, the army is set up this way. You know, you've got institutions where they do after action review. They do. They have conversations about did this work or did this not work? Why did this not work? And it's not just a bunch of, you know, yes people.
Yep.
And there's been, you know, this was Barack Obama was famous for this.
Yep.
He very intentionally filled his administration, not just with people that would help him carry out his ideas, but with people who would tell him, no, I don't like that idea. You need people who have different viewpoints in the room to help you make the right decisions.
Right.
The rest and kind of if missing. You don't have that, you get weird stuff like the Frankmobile X. And
the Frankmobile. Yeah. Don't call it the Wienermobile. Yeah. Called the Frankmobile. Everyone called it the Wienermobile. And you saw it around town.
It's a lesson to be learned, people.
Yes. Always have someone you trust that can tell you if something's a good idea or not. Look for the fingerprints on the Cybertrucks around Clarksville.
That's right.
And next time that Wienermobile's in town, just feel free to call it that Wienermobile.
That's right.
It's not the Beef Frankmobile, gosh darn it.
It's the Wienermobile.
And this has been the Clarksville Rundown, a Clarksville Now original podcast.